It's November 3rd, 2021, and this is Golf Today. Coming up on the program, Bernhard Langer joins the show to talk about Champs Tour, all his wins, and we actually quiz him on his own trivia. Spoiler alert, he's pretty good at it. Also, we discuss Brooks Koepka and his season as we look ahead to 2022. We talk about Patrick Reed and everything he went through over the last 12 months. It's National Sandwich Day. We debate the best sandwiches at Augusta National. Plenty more. Enjoy it. This is Golf Today.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Happy hump day. Golf Today, Damon Ack alongside Shane Bacon. I've covered 11 Masters tournaments. I get a pimento cheese sandwich every single time. I'm team pimento cheese.
I mean, I feel like we're in the minority here.
You
most
think so?
People are team egg salad these days, but you got to go pimento cheese.
Yeah.
Just not an egg salad guy. Simply put, I'm not an egg salad person. I'll go with all the other available sandwiches, but pimento cheese is number one all time for me when you go to the
Masters. I want my eggs scrambled or sunny side.
Yeah.
I don't
over
want
medium,
yeah, yeah,
over
yeah.
medium
no,
plays
no
as well.
Yeah, no egg salad sandwich for me either. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. We'll have to ask our guest coming up what sandwich he occasionally
about the Masters
when he gets to Augusta National, age 64, D. Bernhard Langer picked up another win on PGA Tour Champions, became the oldest winner in history when he won in a playoff at the Dominion Energy Charity Classic. We're kind of waiting. Is this guy going to win in 2021? And he answered the question quickly.
Over 600 days between that win and his previous win to become the oldest winner all time on PGA Tour Champions. 64, 1 month and 27 days. Some other legends you see on that list. Let's not make him wait. The World Golf Hall of Fame member, Bernhard Langer, joins us on this Wednesday. It's great to see you. So first of all, are you team pimento cheese sandwich or are you going egg salad? Where are you going when you get to Augusta?
I'm a tuna salad guy, definitely.
Wow, curveball.
Of course he is.
Throw the curve.
Always healthy.
I like it.
All
right.
Well, Bernhard, you've won so much in your career, and I imagine it's hard every time, but also special. What are you most proud of about win number 42 in Richmond after such a long wait?
Well, it's when you get to my age, you never know if you're going to win again. And I've put myself in a position to win several times these last few months and couldn't do it or didn't pull through. Somebody was always better. So it was very exciting to win, you know, number 42, but more importantly, at 64 years of age, because you just don't know what the future holds.
There's that number again, 64. And it reminds me, some people fall out of love with their jobs, even pro golfers. How have you kept the love alive for this game for so long?
Well, I just love the game, playing golf, and I love to compete a lot like Arnold Palmer and many of us. You know, it's become part of life. And as long as I'm healthy and still fairly decent at it, I'm probably going to continue. And hopefully I'll know when the time is right to call it quits. But right now, we have bigger plans and trying to finish the season very strong here.
I think it's safe to say that you're a golf nut. You're a guy that plays a lot of golf, practices a ton. You're always out there on Monday mornings getting practice rounds in. So I ask, what do you do outside of the game? Is it woodworking, script writing? What do you do when you're not playing golf?
I enjoy spending time with my family. Now we have three grandkids, which is a blast to hang out with them. I do like watching sports on television. You know, growing up in Germany, I enjoy soccer, but I love snow skiing. And coming over here, living in the States, I've grown to like football and basketball, watch a bit of tennis, ice hockey, and now even baseball. So that's some of the stuff I like. I enjoy going for walks. I'm a big nature fan, love being outside and enjoy God's creation, and I go to the gym and go to church, Bible studies. Those are the kinds of things I do when I'm home.
Love it. It's a beautiful planet indeed. I want to take you back inside the ropes, though, because, Bernhard, I've spoken to you a lot through the years. You have said you are not explicitly chasing Hale Irwin's mark of 45 wins, but now that you're three back, how much does it matter to you, if at all, at this point in your career?
Yeah, I don't think it really matters that much, but it just shows how well Hale Irwin has played out here. You know, to win 45 times is exceptional. Nobody's even come close to that number. And I've always said it's unlikely for me to surpass Hale or catch him. There's a slim chance I might, but that's not my priority. I'm more, you know, focused for the next day and what tomorrow may be. Let it be a process. And if it happens, wonderful. If not, no big deal.
You're 64 years of age. You still got a ton of game. We had Padraig Harrington on the show a couple of weeks ago. We asked his thoughts on competing on the PGA Tour in terms of major championships, considering how well he played at the PGA Championship this last season. So I ask you, can you still compete in PGA Tour majors? Can you still compete and potentially win at Augusta National?
Yeah, I've played Augusta every year and was in contention a couple of times the last 5 or 6 years. But the course is getting increasingly longer for me. You know, I'm just not driving it far enough. And so I'm hitting often 2 and 3 hybrids into greens where the long bombers hit 9 irons and 8 irons. And that's hard to compete. They reach par fives. I can't. They drive certain par fours. I can't. So I need to be that much better in other areas, which is not easy to do. And it's becoming increasingly difficult or more difficult for me. But it's a wonderful challenge. And I still love to compete. Played in a few British Opens lately and, you know, made the cut most of the time. Did okay. But to win another one's not very likely at all.
Well, I wouldn't bet against Bernhard Langer. But you are known as a player, a champion, efficient, serious most of the time. And then we see you dress up as this maintenance guy out at the Furyk and Friends event. What prompted you to do this and get on the tee boxes and interrupt the players as they were trying to tee off?
Oh, that was a blast. I had so much fun. I was asked by our social media team to if I would be willing to do anything like that, play a few pranks on my fellow colleagues, and I immediately said yes. I said, oh, that would be great. And we came up with a few ideas, disguised myself, which worked till I opened my mouth. I guess my accent gave me away right away.
I gotta say, the facial hair played. I mean, it is November. Man. If you're so thinking good about giving it a little growth as we get closer and closer to Phoenix, I'm not opposed to it. It looked pretty solid on you. All right, so you've been playing professional golf for decades and decades and decades. You've won all over the world. It's hard to remember some of the things you've been able to accomplish. So we wanted to quiz you about you. It's time to quiz the champ,
oh,
D.
Oh, love this. Time to quiz the champ. You were the first number one player in the world. So how many weeks did you hold the top spot?
I think it was 3 weeks.
Ding.
Do we have a ding? Do we have a dinger?
Ding.
You want to just do it?
Boom. You got it. One for
one. All right,
one.
So he's one for one knowing himself. I mean, we're not going to praise you for knowing yourself that much, but we'll be slightly impressed.
Pretty good.
All right, next question. You're second all-time on the European Tour wins list. How many wins on the European Tour do you own?
42.
I mean,
Jackie Robinson.
Hey, listen, you can mix it up.
Same number as PGA Tour
champions. He could have said 43.
Nah,
he's been in a lot of playoffs.
All right, let's turn up the heat. You own the most majors in PGA Tour champions history with 11. Who is second?
A Gary Player.
Okay. It's just like you talking about UCLA. It's just not even a compliment.
It's very impressive.
All right, so this one we'll see. This is maybe the most curveball we've got. This is basically your tuna salad sandwich, like you answered off the top. Right. Who is the first player to finish runner-up to you on the European Tour? The first player you beat on the European Tour.
So that means my first win on the European Tour?
Correct. Who was second?
Could it be Brian Barnes?
Oh, yes! 5-shot win, Dunlop Masters. I mean, that's amazing!
Did we think he wasn't going to get these? Seriously think this guy wasn't going to get
these?
You know
what? Bernhard Langer is who he thought he was.
He is who he thought he was.
Wow. Hey, champ.
That was a very special win. I mean, to win your first big tournament, you know who you were paired against and what happened. So I won't forget that one.
I love it. And many more to come, it seems, for the 64-year-old young Bernhard Langer. Thanks so much for your time, pal, and finish the season strong.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Man, so cool. Friend of the program, friend of this great game. There you see it. 11 major championship wins on the 50 and over set. So good. And he still loves the game. It still puts in the work.
That's the key.
He's not hanging around.
You know, I was joking a little bit with him, but, you know, in my short time kind of covering the U.S. Senior Open, being out there, you go out on a Monday, and you know who's out there in a practice
there
round?
He is.
That guy.
Yeah.
You know who's out there grinding by himself at times? Is that guy right there? I mean, yeah. There's a reason to the success. Sure, you've got to be talented. Sure, yeah. You've got to have all the skills in the world. You've got to be mentally stronger than most players out there. But the work is where you really separate yourself. And this is a guy that has never shied away from the work it takes to be one of the best in the world.
And I do think it's a handful, a small number of players who truly love this game and want to keep competing out there. I think Bernhard clearly is one. Phil Mickelson is one as well.
Totally.
I think most players want to get away, taper away from the game a little bit, kind of downshift after a career of flying all over the place and competing. He clearly loves it, clearly wants to keep playing, and clearly can still win out there.
Being competitive, right? I mean, we look past this a lot in sport. Occasionally you'll go, why are certain players playing so hard in regular season game 43? Or why is the grind there in preseason? It's because they're competitors.
Mm.
They're true competitors. They want to win whatever they're doing, however they're playing, however much money is involved, if money's involved at all. They want to beat you and me. They want to beat Phil Mickelson. They want to beat anybody that shows up on the first tee. And this is one of the great competitors.
Yeah.
Sure, he is as friendly as anybody you'll meet in professional sport. He is as genuine as anybody you'll meet in professional sport. But deep down, there's a guy that always wants to step on your throat. Mm. And we've seen it for decades, D. I mean, this is a guy that has been a winner in professional golf for decades. And when I look at some of the young players coming up, that skill is really, really important. Mm. Winning is a skill that has to be learned. And he learned it at a young age, and he's continued it into his 60s. And who's to say this isn't a guy that's going to win on PGA Tour Champions as a 70-year-old?
42 wins on PGA Tour Champions, 42 wins on the European Tour. And I love the fact that when Jim Furyk and Phil Mickelson, yes, they're winning out there on the 50 and over set, but they always kind of give a little nod to Bernhard Langer. You know, Phil say, hey, I'm paying attention to Bernhard Langer. Listen, I'm a World Golf Hall of Fame member in my own right. I'm a 6-time major champ on the PGA Tour, on the regular set, but he still, you know, knows that Bernhard Langer has been the man out there at 64. So impressive, and also physically gifted as well. Looks very similar. Maybe, what, is he a pound more than he was in his prime? It's remarkable how much he looks the same.
I bet the core is pretty strong.
The core is strong.
Man right there.
I would lose a sit-up contest to Bernhard Langer.
I don't want to do a plank
competition. 3-4 minutes.
But you know what? He's one down today. He's one down on National Sandwich Day. Not going with pimento cheese.
Tuna.
One down. Well, coming up, 4-time major champion Brooks Koepka is in the field this week. And we're going to hear from him. Paige McKenzie's going to join us to talk Brooks Koepka. What is Brooks Koepka these days?
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life. And Srixon, introducing the new Z-Star series. Need a soft, fast, responsive ball? No problem. And by Skechers. Be comfortable with Skechers Go Golf Elite 4 Victory Footwear worn by Matt Kuchar.
Welcome back to Golf Today. The PGA Tour concludes the international portion of its autumn season with this annual event along the Riviera Maya Worldwide Technology. Gorgeous spot. Now, back in February, how about Brooks Koepka chipping in from 32 yards for eagle on the 17th hole to break a tie for the lead and parred the last for a one-shot drifted win. So good. Out of feeling, just strolling. Yeah, a little wave to the crowd.
Out of nowhere.
See it again, right?
Out of nowhere.
We didn't talk about him all week, did
we? All week in Phoenix, and he does this on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Likes that golf course.
Does. Absolutely. To get the job done for a second time in Phoenix and in the field this week, meeting the media right now. So it's time for Brooks Koepka to meet the press.
I am a range rat. I'll sit in the range and all day. I'm healthy now, so I can practice and do everything I want to do. I've just been grinding, man. It's, you go through periods where you just feel like you've got no control of the club head, or you don't know exactly where your swing is and what you're doing. And, you know, it's just frustrating. I don't think I'm playing as bad as probably I've led on, but the consistency is just not there. There's certain shots that just aren't there. Not what I'm used to seeing, I guess is a good way to put it. But, you know, I look at it, it's been tough. Like, I mean, injuries for 2 years. I mean, I got surgery on the right knee, left knee's, I mean, better now, but it wasn't good for a while. And you start making compensations because you can't. I mean, like, I still, when my knee bends a little bit, I still don't know how far it's bending. Like, I don't know, if anybody's ever had surgery, you still don't know kind of where you're at for a little bit. And, you know, maybe hesitant to get on your left side when the left knee was hurting, or right side when the right knee. It's, you kind of play in this yo-yo game and trying to find a balance. And it's just been a little bit more difficult. A lot more work's been put in. And like I said, I'm just trying to play my way through it. Originally, I wasn't going to play this event, but I'm not going to get any better sitting at home. I mean, I'd rather come out here and, you know, I'm not saying I'm trying to miss the cut, but if I miss the cut, at least, you know, hey, I put in work and maybe found something. You know, sometimes I've left tournaments, you know, with a missed cut and found something, or that one golf shot on the 17th hole, you hit it, you got a feeling. That's all you're looking for, is that one feeling. And you almost seem like you're on your way and just going to on the right track, and you never know, you can rattle off a good year, a good couple months, whatever it might be, just from that one swing.
Which begs the question, what is Brooks Koepka? At this point in his career, you look at his last five season strokes gained ranks, and pretty solid for the most part. That 2021, 2022, though, is just a couple of starts.
Yeah, just two starts, played Shriners, played CJ Cup, tied for 67th at the Shriners, tied for 38th at the CJ Cup. So those numbers, I'm assuming, will get closer to the mean, right?
They'll improve. But I guess the question is, what is Brooks Koepka at this point? What do you see in this four-time major champ who hasn't been hoisting major championship trophies of late?
You know, I was diving into Brooks Koepka research this morning, and you forget the major championship season he had in 2021.
Yes.
I mean, you kind of think about Brooks Koepka almost having a disappointing 2021. And, I mean, top 10 in three of the four major championships, really in contention in a couple of them. I mean, this is a guy that is the best major championship player of this current generation. Yeah. And he's the best major championship player, in my opinion, since Tiger Woods. The way he can somehow block everything out, D, and be mentally prepared for majors. The interesting stuff is, it seems when it's not major championship week, you get a lot of what we just heard from Brooks Koepka. It's talking injury, I feel healthy, but maybe I don't feel 100% healthy. Yeah. I'm always kind of working on my body. He's always kind of talking around the parts that work for Brooks Koepka. And then when he gets to majors, he plays.
Yeah.
The music sings. It's just so wild to see the difference in Koepka, really regular PGA Tour weeks versus major championship
weeks. It's
almost
like he's trying to find motivation. He's trying to find something to talk about, to occupy his time week to week on the PGA Tour. But he's also a bully in a sport that needs bullies. And he's a bully, I think, who's been bloodied over the last couple of seasons when you consider the injuries. And it has been a part of his kind of bio over the last couple of seasons, especially last year when he showed up at Augusta National and admitted to having to work on his body anywhere from 8 to 10 hours a day. He misses the cut. He was clearly disappointed. But I also saw some wobbles on those major championship Sundays, in particular at Kiowa, and watching him alongside Phil Mickelson and not having an answer. So often it had been the other way. You know, we saw Brooks hold off the likes of DJ and Tiger and JT and Hideki. He just had put together this incredible run from 2017 to 2019. And when you are not 100%, when you are hobbling, when you've had these surgeries and all these rehabs, that's a part of the equation now. It's almost like when Mike Tyson got shocked by Buster Douglas. You know, can you put everything back together? Can you put the intimidating factor back together? I think it's harder and harder to do if you're not 100% right.
Yeah, you know, there's comps to be made when you talk about Brooks Koepka and being one of the great athletes of this generation. You could compare him at times to LeBron James. And the way LeBron James currently, at this portion of his career, goes about regular season versus the playoffs. Because LeBron James understands that championships are all that matter in LeBron James' legacy. It doesn't matter how many points he's scoring this season. It doesn't matter what the record is for the Lakers. But I actually see a little bit more Anthony Davis in Brooks Koepka now. You know, Anthony Davis is a generational talent, right, in the NBA. He's the kind of player that can win you a championship alone. But he's also a guy that's always battling injury.
Yeah.
And every time you see AD hit the ground or fall down or land awkwardly,
get nervous,
you're concerned.
Yeah.
And for Koepka, it seems like that occasionally with golf swings now. You know, he's in the rough and he's trying to muscle it out. For Brooks Koepka, finding a way, if it's possible, to be 100% healthy, that to me is when Koepka can really go and fly. Because when Koepka was healthy, he was flying all over the place. He's winning major championships, and he's getting himself in contention. I looked this up. In his last 16 major championships, he has 9 top four finishes. I mean, that's more than Rahm and Justin Thomas combined over the course of their career. Dustin Johnson has 10 top four finishes in major championships. Rory has 10. This guy has 9 in his last 16. I mean, this isn't a guy that shows up to major championships and expects himself to get in contention. He knows he's going to get himself in contention. And I found this quote really enlightening on where Koepka is right now when he looks historically at who he is. As we ask the question, what is Brooks Koepka? This from that September interview in Golf Digest. He said, in my mind, I'm going to catch Tiger on majors.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to catch him. I believe it. I don't see any reason they can stop me. I'm 31. I have another 14 years left. If I win one a year, I get Jack. This is where Brooks Koepka's mindset is. It's not, I hope I win another major. I hope I win the career Grand Slam. It's, I know I will.
Yeah.
I know I will. And that self-belief, it can rub people the wrong way, and he sure rubs us occasionally the wrong way. But when you're a professional athlete, this is the stuff you're supposed to say. Mm. You're supposed to believe in yourself. Even if it's not 100% true.
Right.
Even if Tiger Woods says, I'm showing up at every golf tournament and think I can win. And at times we know maybe Tiger's game isn't where he hoped it would be. For Koepka, saying this stuff, put it out in the earth, is just as important as believing it yourself.
And what's so interesting to me is he's not that different than he was in 2013 when he competed in the Scottish Open after an incredible run on the Challenge Tour, where he won once in 2012 and three times in 2013. He was asked the same questions. He goes, you know, Brooks, you seem fearless everywhere you've been. Why? You seem to have a nice balance between confidence and not arrogance, but self-belief. Those are questions from journalists 8 years ago.
Before he was the major guy.
Before he won the Turkish in 2014 even. Before he won at Erin Hills. That was the vibe he was putting out to the media in 2013 at the Scottish Open. And those questions still come to him. You know, the arrogance, the self-belief, the incredible confidence you have to have in kind of walking that line. And he answered those questions. If you don't have belief, what are you doing out here? Why are you even playing golf?
Yeah, Brooks Koepka set himself up to potentially be a top 10 player of all time, right, with what he's already done in major championships and what he could potentially do. You know, he's talking about, I think I can catch Jack or whatever. I'm not sure if we'll see a player of this generation get the 10 major championships, but I think if you were going to put odds on this, Koepka would probably be number one on that list. It'd be some sort of version of Koepka or Rory McIlroy, just because of the numbers they're at right now. But, you know, to when you dive into these great athletes, when you dive into the mentality of a great, great athlete, it is being comfortable in these moments.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, even pros, are not comfortable in these moments. We see it in Super Bowls, and we see it in NBA Finals. You see it in Game 7s in baseball and basketball, and stuff gets tight, and you forget some of the normal things you learned in Little League, and you learned in Pee Wee football. Those things that were ingrained in you, you can occasionally forget. The greats don't.
Yeah.
The greats are in the huddle, and they're looking up and saying, that's John Candy, right? I mean, those are the things that happen to these great, great athletes. And for Brooks Koepka, getting to Augusta, getting to St. Andrews, getting to Belle Reve, he's comfortable on those driving ranges when so many of his peers are not.
He's proven it year after year. He continues to evolve as a player and a person. For more, we bring on our own Paige McKenzie. Paige, you know, what is Brooks Koepka? Who is Brooks Koepka?
I love everything that you guys have talked about, because I think when you think about Brooks, you think about the hard exterior, you think about the arrogance in the interviews, the confidence that he's exuding. But I also think about those moments that he has been slightly vulnerable. Shane, you brought up that 2021 has been a disappointing year. I want to take you back to the beginning of 2021 when he won Waste Management. We saw the great theatrics on that chip in on the 17th hole. But after the round, after he won the event, he says, I've been in some dark places for about a year and a half. There was a period of maybe about 2 months where I just questioned whether I was ever going to be the same, whether I was ever going to be somewhat remotely the same golfer that I ever was. That, to me, was so revealing about the vulnerability that goes along with who Brooks Koepka is. We hear about the injuries, but we don't hear about what he goes through with those injuries. And again, additionally, after he won, he then had to have knee surgery again before the Masters. So when you think about 2021, yes, there was those three unbelievable major championships that he played well in, but he also was battling so much internally as well as physically related to these injuries.
Paige, we look back on Koepka's career to this point. The last major championship he won was 2019 at the PGA Championship. Does this guy have anything left to prove? Are there things left for Brooks Koepka to prove to us and to the golf fans in the world?
I don't think he has to prove anything to the fans or to the people that are watching him play. The reality is, as you have pointed out, there has been nobody better in the biggest moments. He doesn't just succeed, he thrives in those environments. I mean, he really, it's impressive to see a player step up. And I want to reframe this. You guys were talking about how he doesn't seem to get up for maybe the regular seasons. We heard it in the interview, even in Mexico. Well, if I miss the cut, at least maybe I can take away something from it. It reminds me of a player that goes out on the golf course and plays. And I don't mean in a tournament. I just mean plays versus sits on the driving range. You learn more about yourself. You learn more about your game when you're playing on the golf course. And that is true, especially true in golf tournaments. So for him, it's more of a practice in tournament competition, I think, and how he's approaching it.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka gives us great copy when he plays. He's there to do business. Great stuff from Paige McKenzie. Gifts for golf in 20.
So we're looking ahead.
22. We're looking ahead. Do you have a gift for golf? I mean, the ultimate gift for this game that we all love.
I have what I consider the ultimate gift in golf. The ultimate gift in golf. 2021, okay. We gave the world golf today.
We did.
A very nice gift.
Yes.
I think the gift to golf in 2022 is Rory McIlroy winning at the Masters finally.
You want it now.
Win it.
You don't want to wait a little more.
I don't want to wait.
Okay.
Rory doesn't want to wait. I don't want to wait. You don't want to wait. The golf world doesn't want to wait.
It's fair.
Rory has played well enough to give himself at least a chance at a green jacket.
Yep.
Of course, we know what's happened in some of the past situations there over the weekend at Augusta National. But he's got the game. He hits it so well off the tee. He can move it right to left. The golf course seems to fit him. And I know there's so many players that you could put under that same level. I mean, Weisskopf and Norman.
Yeah.
The list kind of goes on and on. Ernie Els. I mean, so many players have played so well at Augusta National, but I just feel like green jacket Rory, the golf world, the sports world, they'd love that.
The pressure to get it done, considering he hasn't won a major since 2014, and now asking him just to complete the career Grand Slam at the place that even the sports fan, not even the golf fan, just the sport. My mom, you know, the lady on the street, they know what Augusta now. Oh, the Masters. Pimento cheese, oh, the humps and hollows and ghosts and goblins. I mean, that's a heavy lift. It'd be an incredible gift, but man, tough.
If there's one thing I learned with the list to Santa is shoot high. You want to shoot high.
No questions too big.
You got to ask for something big, and then if they don't get it, you understand it might not make it.
I got a big question.
Okay.
I got a big gift.
You're saying bigger than Rory at Augusta.
I think it would be. Maybe the only thing bigger than Rory at Augusta.
I have a feeling I know where you're going.
How about Tiger at St. Andrews? Just to go.
Not winning.
Not winning, but just go.
I love it.
Go be there at the soul of golf. Be there where you gave the game some of the greatest images we've ever seen. Not finding a bunker on the way to completing the career Grand Slam in 2000, getting it done. 2005, beating Colin Montgomery by 5 shots. An 8-shot win. In 2000, I don't care if he hits a shot. He could play the loop. He can play 1, 2, 17, and 18. He can go have dinner there. I don't care if he wins. The images we've seen, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, crossing the burn, crossing the bridge one last time. I mean, yeah, would I like to see Tiger with golf clubs in his hands? Wouldn't anyone? Yes. But just go for the 150th playing of the Open. Go to St. Andrews where it's the soul of the game, a place that means so much to the game. In a place that means so much to him as well.
Most popular golf course in the world, most known golf course in the world. It gets to host an Open Championship every 5 years. I'm with you. I mean, just to be there, just the presence
just be there.
In and around the town, being there on the first tee. Like you said, I'd love to see him in the field.
Yeah. Oh.
And that would be the true dream scenario for 2022 in any event, is to see Tiger Woods back on the golf course playing golf. But I'm with you. I love the idea. Just to have him there, have him around the Open Championship. It's funny, when you think of Tiger and major championships, it's easy to go a lot of places. It's very easy to go to Pebble. It's very easy to go to Augusta National.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, my brain always goes to St. Andrews first. And I think it's because it's been two dominant performances there and the two times he's really been playing his best golf when the Open returned back to the old course. But would be incredibly special. I hope it happens.
And I hope he would want to do it. If that's what he wanted to do, it would be just a remarkable thing. Bring his kids there. You know, this is what Daddy did. Back in 2005, it would be It'd warm the cockles of my heart if he did that.
Rory at Augusta, Tiger at the Old Course. We're not asking much here in 2022. We got Jay Croucher coming up on the show. We're going to talk locks of the week. D-Hack's been red hot. Plus a little 2022 World Series look ahead. We're talking 2022 World Series. We are looking ahead today.
Baby, baby.
We're back on Golf Today. Last week's lock of the week, D-Hack continues to hit. He is 3-1 in locks of the week. I am a miserable 1-3. My one was a nice hit, plus 1,000. But, yes, you know, still, I'm losing, man. I'm losing. I need a winner.
It's early, buddy. I'm proud of the work I've done. I know that Teddy G thought I was playing a little safe. I'm just kind of steadily, you know, doing the job. Get it done. Doesn't have to be pretty. Just get the job done.
So I'm 1-3, and it's time for our lock of the week this week. And I'm going to say this right now. I mean, this is an absolute master lock. Lock of the week, double lock the door.
Oh, no worries.
Deadbolt it, close, you're good to go. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
My lock of the week that can't miss, that will not miss. You know, Taylor Gooch.
You're positive. Oh,
Taylor
Gooch. He had a great run at the Players. I remember that, yeah.
Taylor Gooch to make the cut is minus 264. He's making the cut. I mean, it's already done. It's been said.
Just go ahead and build the wing on the house.
Done.
I mean, it is done.
12
done.
Of 13 cuts okay. made over his last 13 starts. 17 of 19 cuts made over his last 19 starts. He's played in this event twice. He's made the cut both times. He's one of the best players in the world right now, the way he's playing, the consistency that's there. He's making it to Saturday. Come on.
I think you're onto something there. Now, this is minus money, though, right?
This is the first one of those. This is the first kind of favorite bet I'm picking for lock of the week. But I need a dub. I need a winner.
He's just someone who looks more and more comfortable every time he plays. I have some friends that were down at TPC Sawgrass rooting for him. They had a little interest in Taylor Gooch's performance, and he played fantastically. He had a very good chance to win. Was right there in the frame with JT and Bryson and Lee Westwood. I'm going to continue with the philosophy that has staked me to a 3-1 record.
Don't have to get fancy with this.
So don't get fancy, but I found another plus bet, so it's a little bit of risk involved. It's plus 280 for Tony Finau to finish in the top 10. This is Tony Finau.
Plus 280,
who has 47 top 10 finishes in his PGA Tour career. Two of those at Mayakoba, where he has shot 65 before, and shot 66 before, and shot 67 before. One of those top 10s was last season. One of those top 10s was in his first. I just think that this is a guy that we know, if he's on the golf course, he's almost always likely to finish very, very well. I think top 10 Tony Finau, that's going to be a nickname. Top 10 Tony Finau, and that's not pejorative.
What he do now is finish in the top 10.
Where he be now? Top 10.
Two top 10s in five starts at this event here.
Correct.
So if you were really diving into this, if you were really dissecting this, you would be, in theory, up money if you made this bet every year.
I see what you're saying. Over the five events that he's
five
played.
Five times, he's two top 10s here.
Yes.
So it's been a great
plus
bet to 280. This point. And now look at him.
You'd be ahead.
Now he's one of the best players in the world. You want to welcome in Jay Croucher? Let's welcome him in from PointsBet. Jay knows everything there is to know about numbers and betting. So, Jay, we are presenting our locks of the week. What were your thoughts on Taylor Gooch and Tony Finau?
I love it. I love the bacon deadbolt lock special. Sometimes you just need a win. You just need to put
need
a W in the column. It's got kind of the scent of backing the Lakers money line against the Rockets or something just to get a W in. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think Taylor Gooch will likely make the cut. And then with Damon, I like it with the – I like bets that are just on the essence of the player. Like you're betting on Tony top 10 Finau to finish in the top 10. It's like betting on Damon's guy Clayton Kershaw to choke in the playoffs or LeBron James to win the Eastern Conference back in the day. So you're just betting on the essence of the guy. And Tony, obviously, that's what he's famous for. So I love it.
Tough, tough shot on Clayton. Shouldn't you mention that the Dodge, I was ready to like leap out of my chair and enjoy that he got me in the heart. Got me right there. All right. We'll get to some baseball in a bit. But from a betting perspective, just how different is it betting on Brooks Koepka in majors where we know he's super locked in versus regular tour events?
So Brooks Koepka is probably the most difficult golfer to price in the world just because you just don't know if you're getting good Brooks or bad Brooks week to week. And he is a guy where, you know, we price him similarly in majors as we do in PGA Tour events because it's hard to predict when he's going to turn it on. But I think the thing with Brooks in majors is in play. And if you see that it's good Brooks, then the price shortens very quickly. Brooks quickly becomes, if he's on, he's like Michael Myers in Halloween, where all of a sudden he's just locked in, just focused on the goal, seems impossible to stop. And people always jump on Brooks in majors, like at the PGA Championship, the US Open, where he started off really hot. People get on him very early.
Jay, this Abe Answer thing's been kind of wild to watch this week. He was, I think, it was plus 2,500 earlier in the week, and he's moved now to plus 1,400. He's the favorite at this point with the likes of Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka, even Victor Hovland in the field. What's happening over there at PointsBet HQ with this movement with Abe Answer?
Yeah, people love themselves some Abe Answer. He's been an incredible riser up the odds board with the odds shortening very quickly. And I think the thing with Answer is just that he's rock solid. 14th at the CJ Cup, a couple of top 10 finishes in the playoffs to end last season. He wins the St. Jude Invitational. He just doesn't really have any holes in his game. And I think he goes under the radar because, you know, he's not as big of a name like the guys you mentioned in Thomas, Koepka, and Hovland. And then also, he's not part of this new school where he's launching at 6,000 yards off the tee like Bryson does. He's just solid. He just works around the course. And I think that this course, which is a little bit shorter than normal and distance isn't as prized, that, you know, he has a chance as anyone to win.
Jay, how unusual is this? We asked Teddy G a similar question yesterday, but how unusual is it to see someone move this much with big names in the field without injuries happening to some of the favorites?
It's pretty extreme. It doesn't usually happen, particularly for a guy like Answer, who has been so kind of snugly put into that 30-to-1 range consistently over the past few months. But, you know, a lot of sharp and smart people have been betting on Abe Answer and driving that price down. And so I think that there is something there. I think the course adjustment, which is often difficult to price into the opener, but comes out throughout the week as you get closer, I think that's a big thing here with Answer, that the course is so suited to his style.
Jay, there's a rumor going around NBC Sports HQ that you're saying that the great Lucas Herbert could be the next Tiger Woods in some capacity. Can you explain?
Lucas Herbert, yeah, he's the next great thing. He's gone right past Mark Leishman and Cam Smith's hair as the best golfer in Australia after that win last week. Still not a lot of faith in him this week in terms of his outright odds. He is 125-1, but he showed a lot last week. And we make him the favourite in the Australian matchup this week against Matt Jones, where Herbert is a minus 154 favourite. The next great thing, obviously I'm extremely biased here, being from Australia too, but yeah, start watching Lucas Herbert.
So Lucas Herbert, the next Tiger Woods. Next, you got it down? You write
Tiger,
that down? Next Tiger Woods.
Woods, two O's
and
Woods?
Yeah, two O's and Woods. Last thing, you kind of took a shot at DHAC earlier about the Dodgers. Yeah. But we did want to look ahead at World Series numbers for next year. I mean, we're look ahead guys here. We like to look way ahead. Where are the Dodgers in terms of favorites to win it all next season?
The Dodgers are favorites, just as they are every single year and probably will be for eternity. That's why I feel like I can take shots at Clayton Kershaw, and because I'm not really picking on someone who's pretty low down the totem pole. The Dodgers, they are the most bet-on team every year for us. They're always the favorites. They're always loaded. This year, they had to deal with a lot of injuries and were still very close to making the World Series. But yes, we start them off as plus 500 favorites, just narrowly in front of the Houston Astros and the Chicago White Sox. And then Atlanta, they come in as the ninth favorites, despite winning last night and wrapping up the World Series. They're plus 1,400.
Well, at least we lost to the team that won it all. You know what I'm saying? That happens in sports. It makes you feel a little bit better.
You end up rooting for the team, right? Your team. Hey, Jay, as we let you go, I need you to find odds on if that's the most insane take of 2021, your Lucas Herbert take. Get us points bet numbers for next week, okay?
I'll do it. Lucas Herbert, watch out for him. He's the next big team.
Aussie.
Bringing it, man. Jay Crowsher is bringing it.
Another hour of golf today is on the way. Paige McKenzie with some value picks at Mayakoba. After all, who doesn't want a good value? It's all coming up on Golf Today. Wednesday. It's hump day. Damon Heck and Shane Bacon talking some golf. Last hour we talked about little sandwiches. It's National Sandwich Day.
National Sandwich Day, and we made sure everybody at home understands that the pimento cheese sandwich is the best sandwich when you go to Augusta National. You can taste the other ones. You can try them out, have a nibble. They're not overly expensive, but home is the pimento cheese.
I love it. Once a year, I do it. It's a tradition. You do it. You go there. The price is right. The prices are low, and the sandwich inside the gates at Augusta, it just works.
Just taste different. A guy that's going to be able to pick up a sandwich for the rest of his life. if he'd like to. Patrick Reed, a winner at Augusta National over the weekend. Patrick Reed teed it up at the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. Not taking a drop.
Very good strike, drawing.
Standing on the path.
Yeah. Think about this now. Game of inches. I've got this guy as my top 10 lock, and look how close he was to being in a spot. Buddy, it's all about me and my lock of the week, but it's also about you. We're giving you value. And look what Patrick Reed did, able to hold that for eagle. And look at him now.
This guy's just flying. He's just flying paradise to paradise,
I mean,
some would
good.
Say.
Life is good.
If you're there, there is a rumor that I'm starting to believe that being a PGA Tour player is a good life.
I think so.
I'm starting to really buy into this.
2021 to be a PGA Tour player and a good one at that. And now he's in Mexico and talking to the media. Time to meet the press.
The golf course is amazing. It's in immaculate shape. And, you know, back in 17 when I was here, I thought the golf course was in really good shape as well. But they say it's the best it's ever been. And, you know, it's always nice to come back to Mexico and play down here. The fans are always really excited and really get behind sports and get into us coming down and playing. So I'm excited for the week. I feel like I'm playing some solid golf and, you know, really just looking forward to the week getting started and, you know, getting ready to hit the ground running tomorrow. Ever since I've been back from being sick, I just kind of not been in, I guess, playing mode. When I'm on the golf course, it just seems to have a couple mental mistakes that I had to kind of get through that you normally don't make when you're out there consistently playing. And that's really the big reason why I've kind of, you know, gone kind of on a run of playing now is to get back in that groove of playing golf and not playing golf swing. And it was only a matter of time. I mean, I was hitting a lot of quality golf shots throughout the weeks. Just, you know, it's either a putt here or there that doesn't go in that keeps momentum or a crucial up and down. You don't get to keep that momentum. And it just seemed to be too much of that going on earlier this year. And now I feel like we're back to how we're supposed to be playing and really in the rhythm I need to be, which is kind of go more on offense and focus more on going out and making a bunch of birdies rather than trying to go out there and figure out a golf swing.
All right, listen, let's buckle up.
Okay.
You can make sure you're fastened.
Take your jump seats.
Let's get ready for this. We're going to go through Patrick Reed's ride in 2021. Up and down, bumpy.
Turbulence.
Start at Torrey Pines. This is, of course, where the controversial drop happened after hitting a drive into the bunker, pulling his approach shot wildly left at the par 4 10th in the third round. A lot of questions being asked here, and everybody in golf seen this video at least two or three times. This was the talk of the early parts of the PGA Tour season.
Did it bounce? Did it not? Was it embedded? Was it not? At the end of the day, he went on to win the golf tournament on that Sunday, and then he got a spot in the Olympics in July, accepting that incredible position in the four-man representation for the United States and donning the red, white, and blue on the flight to Tokyo. Love the support from everyone. Thank you, Team USA.
He would finish in a tie for 22nd that week, D. And then this, in August, just to answer some questions, my primary diagnosis was bilateral pneumonia. I was vaccinated for COVID-19, so I'm not sure if I had the Delta variant, but I'm just happy to be here. Pneumonia's infiltrated my lower lobes, my lungs. I'm so fortunate for the care I've received. Really scary situation there for the Reed family and what was going on with his health.
It really was, and that's really been kind of the story of his career. Lots of ups and downs, some controversy, tremendous victories as well, and tremendous performance in the Ryder Cup. This is the 2016 Ryder Cup. We all remember that Sunday singles against Rory McIlroy. This was on Saturday. I mean,
this is Patrick Reed at his best, Damon. This is when Patrick Reed is the most likable. He's the easiest to root for. And this is not just because we're a couple of Americans sitting here. This is just Patrick Reed showing up and the emotions pour out of who he is as a golfer.
Yeah, the emotions pour out and the production has poured out of him in the Ryder Cup, especially 7-3-2 overall. And just the show that he and Rory put on. Incredible shots, also some incredible sportsmanship as well as they gave each other some stick and then pat each other on the back.
And this at the 18th, this for birdie to secure the match. And you knew if that was dropping, you were going to get a Patrick Reed-like reaction. That was 2016. Fast forward to 2021, and Patrick Reed was the name left off Steve Stricker's squad. And a lot of things have been thrown around, reasons for this being the case, but at the end of the day, the Americans won in dominant fashion, and Patrick Reed, you know, deemed Captain America and Everything that comes with Reed in red, white, and blue was not a part of that dominant American team.
Was he sick? Was he not? Was he healthy enough to play? Was he not? Was he a troubled soul in the team room? Was he not? One of the things I'll recall from this turbulent year was the fact that at the Tour Championship, he was telling the media that, yeah, he was texting with Steve Stricker and letting him know that he was ready to go, ready to be there in Kohler, Wisconsin, and that he did not get the call to represent the United States. And what a blow that must have been for him, considering how he has played in the Ryder Cup for the United States, one of the few, if only, bright spots over the last 15 to 20 years for the United States. And the gut punch it must have been, how much he puts himself out in that event, how much he puts into that event, he did not get the call, and they won without him.
Yeah, and we weigh the importance of golf events ourselves, what we think are the most important for certain players. That's not always the case. I mean, we've heard players mention non-majors are the most important. You remember what Max Homa was saying after winning at Riviera this year. This was the event I wanted to win the most as a kid. This was the event I wanted to contend in and play in the most, getting the trophy from Tiger Woods. To him, that was the pinnacle of professional golf. For Max Homa, for Patrick Reed, it's playing in these team events.
Yeah.
You can talk about major championships, and you can talk about the performance at Augusta National. We won the green jacket. But for Patrick Reed, he wants to be a part of these teams. He wants to play for Team USA. And it's interesting when you dive into what he's done in 2021 in the start of this wraparound season, the fall portion of this start. I mean, Patrick Reed's making his fourth start this week. He's already committed to the Hero, which means five starts in the fall. Houston is next week. Seems like an event that you could see Patrick Reed in the field at. So now you're talking about six starts in this wraparound season, which to me screams that Patrick Reed is not going to leave it up to being a captain's pick in the President's Cup moving forward. When you look at what Patrick Reed has done in previous seasons, and I'm not going to look at 2020 because, of course, with the scheduling changes and some of the major championships being played later in the year, it wasn't a regular PGA Tour schedule. So 2019, he played only two events. In the fall, he played the WGC, HSBC, and played the Hero. 2018, he played in four events. That was a lot. 2017, three. 2016, three. What this says to me is the schedule is going to be set for a busy year for Patrick Reed. I truly think that outside of trying to find form, being healthy, and everything, Patrick Reed understands the more he plays and the better he plays. If he's playing in 30, 35 events this coming season, it's going to be very hard, considering the talent, to be left off this team. Because he's going to qualify. So Patrick Reed's not leaving up to captain's picks and chance anymore. He wants to be on the President's Cup this coming year and the Ryder Cup the following year. And I think Patrick Reed is going to have a schedule that demands that's the case.
That's where he is right now in terms of American team golf. There are players who will be given the benefit of the doubt. I think Jordan Spieth, his old running mate during these biennial matches, is someone that if he's got a pulse, a chance, he's someone that is going to be on that team. He'll have to put up a donut in a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup, I think, or just have zero form. But he's one of those guys that if it's a chance, if it's on the border, Jordan Spieth is getting picked. For Patrick Reed, it's the opposite, seemingly. He has to qualify now. Right. That's what I learned about this past year, because the performance spoke for itself in terms of how he played, for the most part, in Ryder Cups. But the fact that he said he was healthy and the fact that he was talking about texting Steve Stricker and not getting a spot on that team tells me that he probably has to qualify outright if he wants to don the red, white, and blue again.
Yeah, for him, the numbers aren't 12. You know, for Patrick Reed, unfortunately for Patrick Reed, and he's done a lot of this to himself, mind you. I mean, this isn't, a captain's choice or anything like that. Patrick Reed is at fault at times for some of the stuff he's done and some of the ways he's gone about his business. But for Patrick Reed, the numbers have shrunk.
Yeah.
And he's looking at qualification, and qualification is the only way to get onto this team. I do want to bring up something interesting as I've kind of looked at Patrick Reed's season last year. It was his worst strokes gained off the tee season since back in 2015. He was 114th on tour in strokes gained off the tee. His short game stats are always going to be incredible. He's a great pitcher of the golf ball and one of the great scramblers in professional golf right now. But when you look at the strokes gained off the tee, and this is also where the PGA Tour is these days, distance remains king, and it's only going to get wider. You need to hit the ball far over hitting the ball straight. 2020, when he was 149th in driving distance, that's the worst he's been through 2015, if you go back. He was always kind of around that 70 or 80th on the PGA Tour. So worst in driving distance. It was his best professional season in driving the ball straight. He was 68th in driving accuracy. 138th on tour was his best ever before 2021. So he might be driving the ball straighter, but he's hitting it shorter. And you've got to flip those two to really contend in terms of strokes gained off the tee. You see so many players pick up you know, numbers and strokes on the field when you're hitting it forever off the tee, no matter if you're hitting fairways or not.
And even beyond the numbers for him, the motivation is going to be there. If you look at the bulk of his career, going back to junior golf in college, he was kind of always the guy outside the restaurant banging on the window, you know, leaves Georgia in a cloud of controversy and then busts Georgia as a member of Augusta State to win a couple of national championships, perfect record in the match play there. And look at his career as a Monday qualifier, you know, not through the front door of the PGA Tour, through the back door, you know, hustling, driving country to country, stop to stop, playing place to place, trying to Monday qualify. And look at him now. Once again, this is how he rolls. Put the chip on the shoulder of Patrick Reed, and he will find a way to don a green jacket. He will find a way back to relevancy in terms of the team events because he, I think, performs at his best when he feels like he has been wrong, when he has been burned, and that's kind of where he is right now.
Talk about Brooks Koepka. I mean, you're talking about
Similar.
One of the more mentally tough players
yeah.
in professional golf. I think there's an argument to be made that Patrick Reed is the most mentally tough golfer in the world right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that honor was always held by Tiger Woods. We know that. Just never losing in a sport
yeah.
that is basically it's normal to lose. It's expected to lose. Tiger just refused to lose. For Patrick Reed, no matter how loud the concert is around him, he's in his bubble.
Yeah.
And his bubble works for him. And you talk about being mentally tough. It takes a lot, especially when you know everybody's against you.
That's Saturday night.
When the golf fans are against you and you still go out there and win.
At Torrey Pines, everybody is talking about it. Golf Channel, social media, you know, dawn to dawn. I mean, it was all Patrick Reed and the replays of the drop and was it embedded. What is he goes out and wins the golf tournament. How many players could do that with everything going around them? As you said, the band playing on. It's you're the centerpiece. You're the one with smoke all around you and able to shut it off or perhaps invite it and then perform. Says a lot about what's inside him in terms of being able to turn that into fuel.
What does Patrick need to do? And it's not about the golf game, but image-wise, is it a sit-down interview? Is it to do more media? Is it to open up a bit more about who you are and what's happened or your past? Or is it for Patrick Reed, is it just continue to just be Patrick Reed, knowing this will follow you around?
I've seen the sit-downs. I've sat with him and talked to him. I've read the Golf Digest one-on-ones. This is who Patrick
okay.
Reed is. And I find him personally delightful. I spoke to him for, gosh, 15, 20 minutes during a practice round at the PGA Championship. We're over there by the putting green. He's telling about taking walks with his daughter, Windsor Wells. He's renting a house right there by the golf course at Kiowa. He can be very delightful at times, but I think inside the ropes, who he is who he is going to be. I don't think we've seen the last in terms of controversy necessarily surrounding this man, but I do know that he fights. He has one of the greatest short games that I've ever seen, but I don't think he's thinking about changing his image or doing an hour-long sit down with me, you, Todd Lewis, or whoever, unless it's about, you know, winning golf tournaments.
Is it hard for you when you watch Patrick Reed to separate Patrick Reed, the noise outside of the ropes, versus Patrick Reed, the golfer, who remains one of the more fascinated players to watch play professional golf because he is modern-day an outlier.
Yes.
He's not a bomber. He doesn't hit it incredibly straight, but his short game carries him to victories, and these are big victories. Do you find it tough to separate the two when you're watching professional
golf? I do. I wish there was less controversy around him because I love the way he plays. I love
it's
the
so
way
different.
He plays. His hands are just incredible. His short game is remarkable. Yes, if I had a chance to really sit down with him and pull him aside, no cameras, man-to-man, I might say something, but I don't think it would change anything. I think he is who he is. I like that he's different. I like that he's someone that we can talk about. I don't like the smoke.
Right.
I don't like the controversy around him. I love his game, and I wish we were only talking about his game because it is compelling, it is fascinating, it is good for the game. He goes about it differently. But I just think in some way he invites it. It's not like it's been a one-time thing. You know, there have been books written about it, chapters in books written about the biography of Patrick Reed.
There's something beautiful about watching Allen Iverson play basketball
yeah.
amongst the Giants and watching Muggsy Bogues, you know, kind of skirt through the seven-footers. And when you look at Patrick Reed, he doesn't do it with power. He doesn't necessarily hit a lot of fairways. It kind of brings up the idea of Luke Donald when Luke Donald was at the height of power. He wasn't a great driver of the golf ball, but he could get it in the hole as good as anybody out there. And for Patrick Reed, you know, that's where the money's made, is around the greens. And he understands
yeah.
that no matter how sloppy it is off the tee, he can beat you, and it can look sloppy, and it can look ugly, and he knows that'll irritate you as well.
And maybe the next time I do find myself in a one-on-one situation with Patrick, I will say, hey, my man, you know, Let's talk. Let's put our cards on the table. I think I'm not close to him, but he's one of the players that I've covered for a long enough time. Or I would love to kind of get inside of Patrick Reed's mind and kind of what is he thinking about all the smoke and everything that goes around him. I'd just be curious what he has to say. Maybe I'll put the notebook down. Maybe it'll be on the record, off the record. Who knows? But he fascinates me clearly, and I would love to have another shot to talk to the Masters champ.
And he would love to have another shot at another team event. We'll see what happens at the President's Cup in 2022. Well, a man that would also love to be wearing red, white, and blue, that man right there,
Billy Horschel,
was very, very close this year. He's been close a couple of times, hadn't he?
He runs hot, and I like it. I like it.
Back on Golf Today, it was September. After not getting a captain's pick for the U.S. Ryder Cup team, Billy Horschel shot a closing round. You remember this, Steve? 7 under 65. That will get it done. One-shot victory at the BMW PGA Championship flagship event on the European Tour. Very cool golf bag. Even cooler dude is Billy Horschel, and he talked today about what he's been doing since that stretch.
What's the break been like since you teed it up last?
It's been nice. It's been much needed. We had planned to play the CJ Cup at Summit Club, but the couple days leading up to that event or the week before, I was just exhausted and didn't feel like going. So obviously, as an independent contractor, I'm able to take off whenever I want. So it's been nice. It's been 4 weeks at home with the family. We went to Disney the week where I was supposed to be in Vegas, and then the following week, my wife went and I went to London for a few days to hang out. So been nice just to have a relaxing break and get away from the game of golf.
What was it about Mayakoba where you felt, okay, this is a good part in the schedule for me to kind of resume playing the PGA Tour?
I play this event for the majority of my career. I may have only missed it a couple times. It's a great golf course. I've played well here. I've had success here. It's just a nice, easy week to be here. I needed to play something before I headed over to Dubai in a couple weeks.
Never heard anything that tells you more that you're a father than I went to Disney over Vegas. It's kind of a play when you're a dad. You do Disney over Las Vegas.
I haven't been to Vegas in more than a decade. My boys are 10. There you go.
There it is.
There it is.
There's the answer.
There it
Look
is.
At the odds this week at the Worldwide Technology Championship in Mayakoba. Abe, answer plus 2,500 to start the week. Now at plus 1,400. You see Billy Horschel there at plus 3,000.
Yeah, you know, we're going to take a look at Paige's value picks. You know, it'd be nice if we could get Paige back on the program.
I got really good news.
Oh, there she is. All right. Technology is working. So, Paige, we're talking a little Billy Horschel. I mean, he's smiling. He won on a Ball Strikers golf course, of course, the BMW PGA Championship. Well, how about some value with Billy Ho?
I absolutely think there's value with Billy Horschel. When you look at the top of the line, you look at the Abraham Answer, the Justin Thomas, Billy Horschel's actually had better results here than either one of them over the last 2 years. And he's won more recently just last month. So I think for him sitting at plus 3,000, I think that's great value overall, but you could also play him at plus at top five or top 10 as well. But yeah, the last 3 years he's played here, T21, T8, T5. He continues to get better, so I think he might be somebody to pay attention to this week.
Hey, Paige, I need a win on Lock of the Week. I'm struggling. I'm leaking oil. It's late in the season here. I went with Taylor Gooch. I know he's a favorite of yours. Just to make the cut. Just to make the cut this week is minus 264. You like it? You're into it.
I love it. And I know Jay Croucher also agreed with you. I saw it earlier in the show. We are all in agreement. That is a good bet. But I'm going to give you a little bit more on Taylor Gooch. Obviously played well in this fall season. T4, T11, T5 coming into this week. But what's interesting, if you really want to get aggressive with it, I know you have Lock of the Week is make the cut. 8 out of his 9 career top 10s. We're actually top fives, and he's plus 800 for a top five. So potentially keeping that good play stretch alive this week could really have a nice payoff.
Paige, how about under the radar? What a term, like under the radar. Who's like an under the radar pick or two we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, I've got a couple for you, and I don't know how under the radar they should be. I don't think they should be under the radar, but they certainly are as it relates to odds. So I'm going to give you Adam Long, a PGA Tour winner who's had some really mixed results recently, but he is coming into this week off top 25 finish at the Zozo, his last start. And when you consider players that have played well here, there is none better. In 2019, Adam Long finished second place, tied for second place. Last year, tied for third place. And right now, his odds, he's got plus 125 or 125 to 1 outright. You play him for a top 10, you're still looking at plus 850 for Adam Long. So some long odds there, but some good form at this golf course. So might be worth taking a look at. And then my next under the radar, who should not be, is Aaron Wise. Another player who's had a very nice fall. He was runner-up here last year, but coming off a T5 and a T8, and he hasn't finished outside the top 26 in his last five starts. So there's got to be room for him to play him in multiple ways this week. And I also would say, guys, if you have not checked it out, the NBC Sports Edge betting tools website actually have him. They're predicting him the winner this week. So at plus 3,300 or 33 to 1, Aaron Wise, incredible value.
Wow. You know, those long shots are very wise. Those are very wise long shots.
I see what you did there.
Long
wise. Yeah.
I think that's the end of the segment after I had to say something silly as that. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, we love having you on.